You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Aresia, this is the Flopcast, episode 403.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, we are indeed at Aresia right now. You probably hear a little background noise.
That's just our way of bringing you to the con.
We're in the waning moments of Aresia. The convention's pretty much wrapping up as we record.
What do you mean? I just got here.
You just got here. Yeah, it's both those statements are correct. The convention's over and Cornflake just got here.
I arrived just long enough.
In proper Cornflake fashion. You showed up just in time for the end. This is the science fiction fantasy convention here on the Boston waterfront, which happens every January. We've been to many of these.
We have.
We recorded from Aresia once before.
Yeah, that's true.
And that was
true.
A long time ago.
You'd think we'd learned our lesson.
That was like 7 years ago, I think, or
but
so.
It was fun because occasionally somebody would pop by and say hello.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening today.
Probably not. A lot of people have cleared out by this point.
Everybody's gone. We're kind of parked at the bottom of an escalator, and we're watching them break down the registration table, which is very exciting.
It's riveting.
There's a big sign up that says registration is closed.
Just in case you're like me and you're still trying to get in as the convention is ending.
What if somebody's even later than Cornflake and they're arriving right now?
So unlikely.
Hugely disappointed to find that registration is closed. It's official. It's on the sign.
I love that they let us know, though, just in case.
I've been here all weekend.
You are the opposite of me here.
I have really not left the building for the last 4 days.
I would have loved to have seen more of Aresia, but I am eager to hear both how you're holding up and how it has been for you.
Yeah, we'll kind of creep on through the whole Aresia weekend, and I'll get you up to speed.
Awesome.
On everything that happened. Is there a national whatever day to kick things off before we do that, though?
Believe it or not, I came to Aresia equipped.
Wow. In that case, let's do it. What is National Whatever Day?
Being on the celebrity birthday kick that I've been on as of late, I would feel like I missed out big if I didn't get the chance to mention that on January 29th, Tom Selleck turned 75 years old. Magnum P.I. himself.
75, okay. Yeah, Magnum P.I. and what
Three
else?
Men and a Baby.
Oh,
I
yeah.
Remember him from.
I did not see those movies. I never even saw Magnum P.I.
I only ever saw the intro to Magnum P.I. or changing the channel.
Yeah.
But I know that he had an epic mustache. I know that he got his start on The Dating Game.
Oh, okay.
And I know that he hates avocados. So.
How did you come across that kind of information?
Oh, you know, it's the fine sort of information you can turn up on Wikipedia. So. Yeah, he is currently active still. He's in Blue Bloods.
Right, yeah, so, right. There's a show called Blue Bloods. I've never seen that either.
I've seen it. That's
I guess
actually,
I've never seen Tom Selleck. Ever.
You know me. I mistook him for somebody that we've interviewed on the Flopcast, right? I mistook him for Burt Reynolds.
Did we interview Burt Reynolds on the Flopcast?
Did you miss
it? I don't remember that. Wow.
Well, okay, so there was a time...
The biggest celebrity guest in the history of the Flopcast, and somehow I missed that episode.
I think it was that you and I went to Megafest, and we saw him talk.
We saw a Burt Reynolds interview, yeah. We did not interview Burt for the Flopcast. We did see him, though. And yeah, you were getting your early 80s mustache dudes mixed up.
I was. And now, having met Burt Reynolds and having investigated...
You met Burt Reynolds? I don't even remember that happening.
We were in the same room.
Okay, we didn't meet him. And you keep twisting the story of our involvement with Burt Reynolds, really inflating the whole thing.
Well, who's going to correct me? Well,
not me.
You.
I guess I'm correct.
So it's Tom Selleck who's having a birthday on the 29th.
I get them both mixed up with Gary Coleman. but I have a lot of problems.
Ah.
Tom Selleck has a tenuous connection to something that we will be discussing in this show.
I didn't plan that.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
There is a Tom Selleck connection to one of the panels that I did this weekend, just barely. All right, so happy birthday.
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, sure. That's 75.
Nice.
And we've met him, we've interviewed him.
He and I get lunch together sometimes.
Close personal friends. According to the facts and figures about Aresia that I was handed when I showed up here on Friday, estimated attendance, 3,200 people.
Not bad.
3,200 very weird people has been my experience.
Wonderfully weird.
I include you and me in that list, of course.
Yes.
And yeah, they've been doing this for over 30 years now.
Wow.
We haven't been going that long.
Yeah, I think my first one was in 2013.
When we recorded here. That was your first Aresia?
Yeah.
All right.
When Devo Spice was a music performer here that year.
Devo's been here a couple times at least, sure. All right, anyway, I've been trapped here for 4 days. You're here to rescue me. You're my exit strategy. You're going to extract me from this building.
I make a very good exit strategy.
You're going to return me to the real world as soon as we finish this show. But here's what I've been up to. Yeah, I got here Friday, checked in. And you know what I say about checking in, right? Don't just check in. Check in like a chicken.
Oh.
So that's what I did. I got here, I checked in like a chicken.
I'd ask how that's done, but I'm pretty much a pro at that myself now.
You know how
to
do that.
Yeah.
I was on a couple of panels Friday evening. And so the first one I did was called Crisis on Nearly Infinite Arrowverse. And this was about, you know, all those goofy DC superhero TV shows.
I know how you love your Arrow.
Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and Black Lightning and Batwoman and six or seven more. They did like a big crossover event, and it was an adaptation of Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was a giant DC Comics event back in the mid-80s. We finally got, like 35 years later, we got the TV version of Crisis on Infinite Earths. So we did a panel about that, and that was me, that was my friend Dan, Michael, Jonathan, Naomi, and Bay. That was the panel. Good people. I'd met some of them before, others I had not. That's one of those things, Crisis. I mean, I read Crisis when I was a kid, you know, in the 80s when it came out. And the very notion that they could put that on TV someday, I would have said, no, that's never, you can't do that on TV. And they sort of did it. So it was good anyway, good way to kick off the convention, good panel, I thought. And I had one right after that. My second panel was immediately following that, and this was one of the ones I was most excited about. I was moderating a panel about Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, yeah.
The panel was called Freaks and Geeks Can Buy Its Own Beer Now. Because Freaks and Geeks came out, can you believe, 21 years ago?
I can't believe that.
1999. So this was me. It was our friend Kevin Cafferty. You've heard on the show, I believe. Also, Jim and Wendy were the other panelists. And if someone asks me, like, what's your favorite TV show ever, that's probably my answer.
It's Freaks and Geeks.
I think so.
Wow,
yeah.
I knew that you really liked Freaks and Geeks, but what if it came down to Freaks and Geeks versus Facts of Life?
Well, yeah, they're both set in high school.
Sure.
There's some similarities. They both star Tootie.
As does anything worth watching.
Yeah, in my Freaks and Geeks fan fiction, at least.
It stars Tootie.
I found a way to work Tootie in, you know. You haven't seen much Freaks and Geeks, have you?
I've not.
And you should.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, if you like it at least as much as Facts of Life, if not more, that is enough to convince me.
So, really, really fun panel. And, yeah, you need to see Freaks and Geeks. I don't think I did much after that. I mean, it was 11:15 at night.
Yeah, you'd just been through two panels.
I was already all sleepy and goofy and exhausted. And things were kind of quiet, relatively speaking, you know, as conventions go. It was not like a out-of-control, wild party scene Friday night. So I just kind of wandered about a little bit and then just gave up, collapsed. So Saturday, day two, you know,
mm-hmm.
If I have the math straight. I didn't have anything scheduled until 4 p.m.
So you could have gone out and partied all Friday night.
I should have.
If there had been.
I could have and I should have.
A party scene.
And I didn't.
Oh, well.
And you're a pool person.
I totally am, and I...
You've been in the Aresia pool experience.
You've
done, like, weird Aresia pool events in the past.
Yes, pool sing-along.
Yeah, did they do that this year?
It was on the schedule.
Okay.
I missed it, but it takes you... The parade that goes on is they parade you through to the pool area, and you're wearing your bathing suit. It takes you through the lobby where the door is opening and closing, and it's freezing cold outside this weekend.
There's a parade of pool people.
Parade of pool people.
I did not see those people this year.
Huh.
I'm sure they were around. It's just that I happened to be elsewhere.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you didn't hear them.
Yeah, I did not see them, did not hear them. I'd never even seen the pool before. I had no idea where it was. I almost couldn't find it. I was wandering all around. Where in the world do they hide the pool and the fitness center?
One of these years, you just follow the pool people.
I should have just followed the pool people, because it's like up a level. It's up on the mezzanine level.
It was not easy for me to find the first time either.
Yeah, I was searching the ground floor.
Oh, whoops.
And the lower floor, you know, like a crazy
person.
Where
you would think a pool would be.
Yeah, yeah. They put it way up high for some reason.
I guess that's so if there's a leak, it can drain through the entire building.
Yes. I did not go in the pool, but I did see it. I found it. I thought of you.
Aw.
I moved on.
Thank you.
I ducked in on a little bit of a Batman panel, kind of a bunch of people just discussing all aspects of 80 years of Batman. That was pretty good. And my panel was after that. My first panel on Saturday was a big one also, and that was the George Perez retrospective panel.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we've talked about George Perez on this show before.
You've been on a panel with George Perez.
Yes, George and I.
And this time I'm not exaggerating. You really have.
We really did. George and I did a panel together at Dragon Con about Wonder Woman a few years ago.
And you just let him talk?
Yeah, yeah. That was a packed room that we did turn people away from. The room was full, and none of those people were there to see me. So me and the other nobodies on the panel, we were like, we're gonna hang back and let George do all the talking, because that's who these people want to hear from. But George was not at Aresia,
alas,
this weekend. This was just us celebrating the amazing career of comic book artist George Perez, and I was moderating this one. And I had slides for it. They asked me to put together a slide presentation of George's work. And that's something, as a panelist, you got to be careful with slides. The slides can dominate the panel, and I've seen that happen. I've seen panels just be taken over by one guy with a PowerPoint presentation.
Dominating, you know, the discussion.
Yeah. And then the other panelists are just sitting there trying to get in a word here and there when they can.
PowerPoints don't work in conversation.
Yeah, instead of a conversation, it's a presentation. They asked me to put together slides for this, which is great because it's visual. We want to look at George's art, you know. But I did not just show them in order. I just had them all ready to go. And I would just bring up images based on what people were talking about. So I let the conversation dictate what was on the screen.
Oh,
and that worked really well.
That is clever.
That worked out. That was my other panelists were James and Shaheen and Donna. Donna's actually, I think Donna runs the comic book programming here at Aresia, and she's great. So yeah, that was a good talk also. And I had one more after that Saturday. Returning to the subject of shows you should have seen but you haven't yet.
Okay.
Like Freaks and Geeks. My other panel Saturday night was Let's Go to the Mall, Stranger Things.
Ah, yes. And I might be, thanks to a recent reading suggestion from you, one step closer to checking out Stranger Things.
So this was mostly discussing season 3 of Stranger Things, the most recent season. It's set in 1985 at a mall. As a LaMalle fan, I know you're a fan of
yes.
the work of LaMalle. You and I went to a LaMalle concert a couple of years ago. The music of LaMalle plays a big part in this season as well.
It does?
Yes.
Wow.
So you got to see this.
Yeah, I would say that I must now.
I went to one more official event Saturday night, and that was, they do this every year here, it was the Post Meridian Radio Players.
Oh, yeah.
They do like live radio style drama performances. Every year at Aresia, they do a Star Trek episode. Like they work from a real script from an old 1960s episode of Star Trek, a different episode every year. They perform it on stage in costume, and they've got a Foley person, so they're doing sound effects and stuff. And the whole thing is gender swapped.
I forgot that part.
Yeah, so it's Captain Jane Kirk. Lieutenant Uhura is a dude. The rest of the main cast, all ladies. And Captain Kirk, Captain Jane Kirk, is actually a friend of ours. That's Karen, who is one of the women that used to host Foxes in the Hen House, the podcast. They've been on hiatus for a couple of years.
I remember Karen.
Yeah.
She did the panel.
Yeah, she did the Saturday morning cartoon panel with us a couple of years ago. Yeah, she's great. And she is the star of this Star Trek show that they do every year. She is Captain Jane T. Kirk. That's become a big event here at Aresia. Like, there was a long line waiting to get in, and really, really fun show.
That's so great to see. I'm excited that people are pumped up about that.
Yeah, that was fun. They're terrific. And they do other shows around Boston throughout the year, not just at Aresia. I think they did Santa Claus Conquers the Martians this year or last year.
I had no idea.
Yes, yes. Now, Sunday, I had nothing scheduled. I didn't have to do any panels on Sunday, so I had a full goof-off day. However, I went to a panel at 8:30 in the morning anyway.
Even though you could have goofed off.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking, but I popped right up and showed up for an 8:30 panel. Just so I knew some of the people that were on it, and this was a subject that actually I did a podcast on this very same subject recently, because they had me on Earth Station 1 a few weeks ago to discuss the movies of the year 1999. And there was a panel on that exact same subject, so I wanted to check that out, because that was just such a massive, crazy movie year. 99 was the year, well, that's the year Star Wars came back. That was the first of the prequels, the Jar Jar era, if you will. But that was The Matrix. It was The Sixth Sense. It was Blair Witch Project.
Insanely good and groundbreaking cinema.
Yeah, that was a game-changing kind of a year. So they broke it all down. That was good. I went to another thing right after that, just because I could not resist. Again, this ties into a podcast that we both did, a couple of podcasts we did together with our buddy Ed from Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Oh, I think I know the one you're talking about.
There was a panel Sunday morning called Trains in Space.
Oh, wow. Here we go. Space trains.
They did a panel about space trains, yes.
One third of it was about space trains. The rest was the trains underground.
Oh, really? Platform. Okay. We're getting some added. Thank you. There was a guy exiting the building right in front of us who called out that a third of the panel was about trains in space, and then they went into other stuff like underground trains and whatnot. I have to admit, I bailed out of this one. I did not know that they drifted so far from the subject of trains in space. I guess they ran out of space train talk and shifted the conversation.
Yeah, there are not a lot of space trains.
Yeah, I lasted about 10 minutes. I just wanted to be able to tell Ed that I went to a trains in space panel. When I was there, they were pretty much trying to just set their parameters of what constitutes a space train, because there was some debate over whether or not it had to have a track.
I guess that's fair.
Yeah. There were differing opinions on the panel about if you could have a space train without a track. But that's something that scientists will probably never fully settle.
Well, I'm giving this a lot of thought now, and I know it's something I'm going to be sitting down and thinking about and possibly journaling about later to really get to the heart yeah. of the difference between a space train without tracks and a space shuttle shaped like a train.
That's something that we're all going to have to do a lot of deep thinking and
soul searching
about. Yes.
Yeah.
I checked out a weird thing after this as well. I noticed on the schedule there was something called Walk the Labyrinth.
Did they have a labyrinth?
Looking at the program, at the schedule, they took one of the big ballrooms where they do the dances and stuff. And they said there's going to be a labyrinth there that you could walk through. So I thought, oh, check that out. Like walking through a maze or something? That'd be weird.
You know who loves labyrinths?
Yes.
Our buddy Dornail.
Dornail's a
labyrinth
fan. Loves
a good labyrinth, yes.
Now, I walked in, and the labyrinth, it's a mat on the floor with like a maze drawn on it.
What?
So you can't really get lost in this thing?
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be kind of like a meditation sort of a thing.
Yes.
Like you walk along and do some soul searching about space trains, I guess, is the idea. I pictured something with walls, you know, that you would walk inside. I was picturing some kind of crazy funhouse trapped in a maze thing.
Yeah, I think you were thinking corn maze.
Yes, yes. I thought they were going to turn one of the ballrooms at this hotel into a cornfield and then plow a maze, and then I would be lost in it for the rest of the weekend.
That does sound like fun.
I did not get on the labyrinth. I ducked in, and I said, all right, I guess that's what that is. But the people that were in there seemed to be appreciating it. They were doing their thing, so that's cool. And yeah, after that, man, my day was pretty open yesterday.
Did you leave it open just in case you got lost in the labyrinth?
Yes, I wanted to block out enough time to find my way out of the very dangerous, confusing labyrinth that I expected to be trapped in for most of the day. And I was kind of hanging out, ran into a few friends of ours here and there. A wild card was here this weekend.
You get
to
see wild card?
I talked to wild card a couple of times. Wild card came to our George Perez panel, in fact, which was nice. Man, who did I run into? My friend Sarah. Sarah, who was on the Flopcast. Remember Sarah that we had a conversation about Silver Spoons with Sarah?
Yes.
Earlier this year, she was here. I had no idea she was going to be here.
Oh, that's a nice surprise
then.
I was
thrilled and delighted to happen to run into Sarah. I had no idea she was coming. A couple of my favorite local costumers were around as well. Matches Malone, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Batman costumer Matches Malone. You know he's here. He's at every one of these things. And also Cassie, who she goes by Mooney Warrior Cosplay. She does all those beautiful Disney princess kind of characters and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. I ran into Cassie yesterday, not in costume. She was just here as a civilian just to hang out and see people. But it was nice to see her as well. So, yeah, many friends of the Flopcast were indeed lurking about, which was nice.
At least one of my friends was here.
Yeah.
I know. I have not run into him in my short time of being here. But do you remember Carl?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
We interviewed Carl. Like,
yeah.
Well, at least had a chat with him the last time we did a recording.
Oh, here.
From Arisia.
Yes, yes.
And Carl used to be part of the segment on my old radio show, Coffee and Cartoons, called Make Carl Angry.
Yes, I remember this now.
Yes. So
I can't remember. Did we make him angry last time?
Yeah, he stormed off.
Yes, he did. That's right.
But we weren't trying to make him angry at that point.
Yes.
You got to understand, Carl does not normally get angry.
He did an Incredible Hulk reference as he left. He said, I have a secret. I'm always angry. And he stormed away while the sad piano music played.
Yes.
It was perfect. I actually slipped away from the whole nerd scene for a little bit yesterday afternoon. I ducked into the hotel bar just to catch some football.
Uh-huh.
You know, take a break.
It's a different kind of nerding out, wouldn't
it's
you
a
say?
Whole different kind. And a guy came in. Bellied up to the bar, right next to me. You know, friendly guy, say hello. And this was the Tennessee Titans were playing. And this guy just arrived, just got into Boston on business from Nashville. This is a Tennessee guy who was frantically, he came running into the bar.
Wanting to cheer for his team.
Yes, and he was like, great, I made it in time to watch the game. So then eventually we're talking a little bit, and eventually he gets around to asking me, he says, so are you here on business?
Funny business.
Said, well, yes, I am here on funny business. Yes. Well, the way I put it to him was, on your way in, did you happen to notice a lot of people in weird, crazy costumes? And the guy said, you know, I think I saw a woman out there and she had a beak. So I was like, yeah, that's what I'm here for. I'm with the weird beak people. Hello.
We love our weird beak
people. I don't think I saw a woman with a beak yesterday, so this guy saw a costume that I did not. I wish I'd seen the beaked lady.
We love a good beak on the podcast.
Yeah. Maybe it was a chicken lady from Kids in the Hall.
I bet she checked in like a chicken.
She knows how to check in like a chicken. Yes. Nice guy, though, this Tennessee football fan. He wasn't like looking down on the nerds. He was like, all right, that's cool.
Wouldn't it have been funny, though, if he had not noticed and he, like, stepped out of the bar for a minute and looked out, like, oh!
He just started hallucinating beaked women after watching his Tennessee Titans go down in flames to Kansas City. Maybe that's how
it's the only way I could think of that the story would be better.
Yes. I caught our friend Kevin Cafferty again later that night. It was a panel that I definitely wanted to check out, and so I went to see a panel called Ramble On, Sci-Fi and Fantasy in Rock and Roll.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, so that's a cool panel.
I wish you could have, in podcast land, could have heard my eyebrows go up to twice the height where they normally sit.
Yeah.
Because that just sounds really interesting.
What a fun subject. Because especially, I always go back to like the 70s especially, you think of as that era where you had Led Zeppelin was around and you know, Kiss and...
Queen
and Bowie. All those 70s acts were way into science fiction and fantasy stuff. They went into all that, all the prog rock guys, all that stuff. There was such a blend of rock and roll and science fiction. That is a rich subject. Maybe we should kick that around sometime here on the show.
I'm liking that idea.
Write that down. Also, space trains. Write that down, too.
Space trains.
Ask Ed about space trains.
And sci-fi rock.
That takes us to today, Monday, day 4 of Arisia. Last year was the first time I'd ever been here on a Monday. Last year, they scheduled me on a panel on Monday, and so I finally had a reason to show up on Monday. This year, it happened again. They scheduled me for a Monday panel.
And this is my first Monday at Arisia, and I have to say, I like it.
It's pretty calm, relaxing. compared to a typical convention day.
I'm a pretty big fan of a good ghost town.
You're here for the aftermath. Yeah, it's been pretty quiet here all day, even before you got here, because I went to a morning panel. Before my panel, I went to check out a panel about Stan Lee. With, again, our friend Kevin was on that one as well. Stan Lee retrospective was fun. I don't think they've mentioned this on the Stan Lee panel, but I always go back to Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, the cartoon, when it comes to Stan Lee, because he narrates it. You know, like, you hear his voice. That's, for most of us, that's the first time we ever heard that voice.
Yeah.
Was Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which is available again now on the Disney streaming service.
Oh, Disney Plus.
Yeah, you can watch Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, because I don't think they ever released that on DVD or anything. It's been around kind of as a bootleg, but now you can watch it on the Disney thing, and you should. That was a great cartoon, and you hear Stan, the man Lee. So that's how we kicked off today. I was on a panel. My final one of the weekend was called See You in the Funny Pages, Humor Comics.
And I was excited to get to this one. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, not too deep into the panel, I looked up. For one thing, I was wondering, is anyone going to be here? Because the panel I did on Monday last year was also about comic books. It was also Monday at 11:30 in the morning. There were five of us on the panel. There were three people in the audience. Much better crowd this year. I think we were more in the neighborhood of maybe 10 people or so.
Yeah,
in the
you
room
pretty much tripled it.
Yes, we did way better with the turnout this year, which was nice. Three people was fine, too. We had a fine time last year with the three people who showed up. But yeah, at one point I looked up and, oh, there's Cornflake.
Sheepishly waving to you after showing up late.
I know you'd meant to show up earlier in the weekend, but things happen, you know. I was impressed that you made the effort to still show up, even though it's Monday.
And this was a topic that I wanted to see, partly because you were in the panel, but also partly because I had the impression that you guys were going to be talking about the funny pages, as in the comic strips.
Newspaper strips.
In the newspaper, which I always refer to as the funny pages.
Sure.
I was delighted that the conversation was actually about funny
mostly about comic books.
Or funny portions of comic books.
Yeah, even the conversation seemed to be mostly funny superhero stories, as opposed to straight, like, Mad Magazine kind of just pure humor comics. We covered some of that as well.
And for a brief second, I thought to myself, I wonder if anyone else is going to find funny. And then before I could even complete the thought, somebody was talking about the unbeatable Squirrel Girl. And I was delighted.
You're a Squirrel Girl fan?
Oh, yes. So much.
Yeah. We covered quite a bit. It's a massive subject, obviously. You can't cover everything, but... Yeah, we got in some Squirrel Girl talk.
Some Far Side talk.
The Far Side came up, yes, as an example of a comic strip, even though it was mostly the books that we were talking about.
And if I had had more of a bead on the conversation, I might have suggested Heathcliff as an example to talk about.
Heathcliff has gotten so weird.
It's just zany.
Yes. Heathcliff has just gone completely off the rails. It's bizarre and weird.
But to hear all the things that were discussed and...
We covered a lot. People were taking notes.
Yeah.
I saw people in the audience writing down because we kept naming so many books to recommend.
And it just goes to show that everyone needs a good laugh, because people were excitedly jotting down what they could go read next that they would get a good laugh out of.
I made a point of throwing out a blanket recommendation for my current probably favorite writer in comics. He's a guy named Mark Russell. And I pretty much just read everything that Mark Russell writes these days, which is a lot. He's been very busy the last few years, but this is the guy that wrote Prez a couple of years ago, which is about a teenage girl becoming president. It's very, very satirical. He wrote The Flintstones a couple of years ago. It was like a weird new version of The Flintstones, which was really funny, really well done. Currently, he's doing Wonder Twins, which I know we discussed on the show a little bit last year.
Because it's Super Friends.
This is the writer.
Friends.
This is the writer of the new current Wonder Twins DC comic series with Zan and Jaina and Gleek. As long as we're talking about it, I'll recommend to our listeners, just as I recommended on the panel, check out pretty much anything being written by Mark Russell. You're going to like it.
Good times.
So that was fun. That was your introduction to this year's Aresia. You arrived just in time for that My Comics panel.
And I thought, well, there must be something more for me to enjoy while I'm here. Because,
nope, that was it.
Yeah, I could have just like wrapped up and taken off after that. And been like, all right, see ya. But there were still some other panels going on. And there was one about Star Trek.
You picked out the next panel, and I just followed you into the room.
That was really good of you, too, because I thought by this point you would have been spent.
Yeah.
Seriously, we're done here.
Yeah.
But I
should have been outside hailing a cab.
Everybody else is just looking bleary-eyed, and I'm just like, more, more, more. Fresh blood, yes. on a Monday. I must be so perky and annoying to everyone.
Oh, yeah. But, I wasn't going to come out and say it.
That's okay. So, the question was posed by this panel, where is Star Trek boldly going? And there were discussions about the latest and greatest in Star Trek. And this is where I learned that the kids these days refer to Star Trek Discovery as Disco. Like Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I noticed that they were calling it Disco.
Star Trek Disco.
Which, now, I feel like if I watched, I've not seen Star Trek Discovery, but if I watched the show and there's not a lot of disco dancing and disco music and disco outfits, I'd be very disappointed at this point.
Yeah, I, for one, if it's a disco, am expecting a space train.
Yes, I want space trains.
I want a soul train, a space train.
I want all those 1970s rock and roll science fiction bands all coming together for some disco dancing on Star Trek.
But where I haven't kept up on what it means to be a subscriber to the CBS subscription service, somebody pointed out something that really has nothing to do with what's going on with Star Trek that I didn't realize, is that those subscription services make it so that you can also watch the older shows that were on CBS.
Okay.
Now I'm just like, gotta go see what else is out there.
Do they have Alice?
I'm hoping so.
We can finally get back to Mel's Diner.
Yeah, how deep does this rabbit hole go, I wonder. And I mean, that caught my attention, but it was also neat to be filled in because I don't know if you know this, Kevin, but I started recently watching The Next Generation from its very first episode.
Oh, wow.
I'm watching all the episodes in order because, frankly, when I started watching in the early 90s, I'm sure a couple of seasons have gone by already. And
yeah, Next Gen started in 87.
And you could kind of watch it not in order and still be entertained and only be a little bit lost.
Yep.
So there are a bunch of things I've not seen. So I've recently begun watching it from the beginning.
And
I'm going to get all filled in on this. And yet, they're, like, I never got into Deep Space Nine. I never got into the original Star Trek. I never got into Voyager or any of the other ones.
Oh.
And so,
are you preparing to dive way all the way into the world of Trek?
Somebody might just have to hold me back because that's the direction I'm going in because I'm so excited about the new stuff that's going going on and that
you should have seen the gender swapped radio drama version of Trek. That's the ultimate Star Trek is
I
experienced here this weekend.
I'd have liked it a lot, but I mean you get my attention when, you know, Patrick Stewart's back in the game.
Yep.
And you get my attention when we start talking about Data again.
That's right, the new Picard series, right, with Data is gonna be on it. Yikes.
I mean, gimme. So I was excited to hear about that. And it was neat to be immersed into the Star Trek world where, as much as I love Next Generation, had only been kind of dipping a toe.
Mm-hmm.
So the four panelists there did a lovely job.
So you enjoyed the Trek panel?
Oh, yeah.
Good, good. Me too.
Kind of made me sad that Aresia was pretty much over at that point.
That was about it for Aresia because we just went and found lunch after that.
Lunch was very good.
We had a lovely, fancy lunch at the Irish pub here in the hotel.
The iced tea was exceptional.
You were real excited about the iced tea?
I mean, for a coffee girl, that's saying something.
Yep. So, yeah, we had our lunch. We have coffees right now, of course, as we record. You made a coffee run for us. Thank you.
As least I could do. I mean, you've been representing all weekend long, and I just kind of showed up today.
Just been a wacky Aresia weekend for me. Now, there were not too many people in costume around today, but I'm sure you saw a few people here and there still in costume.
Oh, yeah. There were some pretty costumes.
Did you see a lady with a beak? Because I've been looking for her all weekend.
I did not.
I think she ran off with the football dude.
She might have run off with the football dude.
I think my favorite costume this weekend, and there were a bunch, I saw a bunch of good ones around throughout the course of the weekend, of course, but last year I went to the cosplay figure drawing. This woman, Sarah, was one of the models at cosplay figure drawing, so she was in this big fancy dress, you know, and we all sketched her very quickly. Anyway, she was here this year again, of course. I think my favorite costume of the weekend, though, was another costume. It was a costume that Sarah had. And I think she made this herself, but she had this big, fancy dress.
Uh-huh.
It was black and white. It looked like a coloring book.
Were people coloring on Sarah?
It was like very elaborate designs and stuff all over this.
Oh, that's awesome.
The dress had pockets built into it that had markers, different colored markers.
So perfect.
And yeah, people were taking markers and coloring her in.
I need a dress like that,
Kevin. You should definitely get a dress like that. She was hanging around the lobby yesterday in her coloring book dress.
I would have brought my sparkly markers and just chased her around all weekend long.
Every time I walked by, there was a crowd around her coloring.
I need a dress like that, and I need sparkly markers from the next time I encounter somebody who's wearing a dress that you could color in.
Always carry markers just in case you happen to run into somebody that you can color.
You can color, yes.
Good tip.
Words to live by.
Yes. So anyway, Cornflake, that's Aresia. We did it.
Another Aresia in the books.
You just made it in time.
I just barely did it. Now I'm here to beam you up in a space train.
You were going to get me out of here. Hopefully we're leaving by space train. That'd be good. All right, you know what? Let's wrap up our little Aresia show.
Okay. Well, you can find us on Instagram at @the_flopcast. On Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. And on Facebook, facebook.com/flopcast. But you know, our home is flopcast.net. That's where we like to hang out, and that's where you'll find show notes for every episode we've ever done.
One more quick plug before we go. I just remembered, I think I mentioned before that I recorded another episode of the Batcave podcast in which John and I are breaking down every episode of Electro Woman and Dinah Girl.
That's right.
This was our third episode. It's part of the Batcave podcast, so check out Batcave podcast. And you will hear John and I breaking down the Electra Woman episode, The Empress of Evil.
Sweet.
It was very fun. John does a great job editing these shows together because he weaves in clips from the shows and kind of old commercials from the time. And it was a very fun conversation. So definitely everybody check out the Batcave podcast for more Electra Woman and Dinah Girl talk. If you're into 1970s Croft shows like we are, don't miss it. And Cornflake, thanks for coming to rescue me from Aresia.
That's what friends are for, Kevin.
Let's get out of here and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and right here on the ESO Network.
The longest-running live comedy music concert series is almost here!
Everything about this is dumb and so am I. Here we go!
MarsCon is happening February 28th through March 1st at the Hilton Minneapolis St. Paul Mall of America, featuring the world-famous Dementia Track with performances by the Great Luke Ski, Devo Spice, TD's Kyle and Lynn Zilla, Mikey Mason, Mark with a C, Beth Kinderman and the Player Characters, Cornflake, Brett Glass, Carl Brown, Michael William Hunter, Il Neige, and this year's music guest of honor, Lauren Mayer, plus Dementia Water Aerobics and merch at Table 27, Dementia Smackdown Wrestling, and more. Be sure to pick up your copy of the MarsCon 2020 Dementia Track Fundraiser MP3 album with over 4 hours of live music and comedy recorded at MarsCon 2019 for just $20. Visit MarsConDementia.com and click on Shop.
I'm so happy the way that song came out, and I'm absolutely shocked that we put it together in a week and a half.
For more info on MarsCon, visit MarsCon.org. Thanks for listening, funny music fans, and
we will see you at MarsCon 2020. Peace.
Woo! Audience, leave.
Okay, we're still at Aresia. It's getting dark outside now.
It is, I don't think it's that late in the day.
We gotta get out of here. The sun is setting.
The impact of winter.
This is the secret Aresia secret after show.
Is there anything that you would have liked to have gotten to this weekend that you didn't get to?
I missed the belly dancing.
Oh, womp womp.
I saw the belly dancers kind of congregating outside the ballroom where they were going to be performing, but I think I was on my way to something else, so I did not see the dancers. There's so much going on here.
You can't possibly do it all. So things that I probably would have done, you know, despite the fact that I would have frozen in the lobby area if the door opened during the pool procession.
If you'd been here earlier in the weekend, you would have been among the pool people again?
I would have been among the pool people. But the other thing I might have gone to just because I'm not the biggest Dr. Horrible fan, but I do love a good sing-along. I might have gone to the Dr. Horrible sing-along.
Sure. Oh, I just remembered that during National Whatever Day, I promised that there was a Tom Selleck connection to something I did here at Aresia.
And you made the people wait.
So for the after-show people, we will note that that was the Stranger Things panel, because this latest season of Stranger Things, one of the lead characters is dressed like Magnum P.I. for the whole season.
Yes. Mustache and all.
He gets the mustache, he gets the shirt. He's going for a Magnum look.
Wow.
And we should all do that.
I get a Magnum up.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.